Welcome to the Staying Connected podcast, the preaching ministry of Rosemont Baptist Church in Montrose, Colorado. I am Pastor Roland Kennison, and I want to thank you for listening. Rosemont Baptist mission is passionately bringing people face to face with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. It's our prayer that through this podcast, you will hear our passion for the gospel and people's need to hear it, and that you will truly experience the transformation that only Jesus Christ can bring. Today, we're going to continue our series in the Gospel of Matthew. I pray you find the following sermon encouraging and challenging and will build you up in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one more thing before we begin. If any of the sermons in our podcast have been helpful to you, would you please let us know? It would be a great help and blessing to us to know that this ministry is being used by God in your life and ministry. Would you tell us where you're located and specifically how this ministry has helped you? We greatly anticipate hearing from you. You can simply send me an email at pastor@rosemontbaptist.org. Now, let's begin our time today. We are going to finish Matthew today, believe it or not. In 2017, I started Matthew. We didn't go all the way through it every week throughout the last so many years. We'd go some, and then we'd go to do other things. This year, we did plow through it so we could finish it. I really am motivated by the check box at the finish of a to-do list, and so I was like, man, I need to get through this. But it's also a great gospel. We're going to finish the book of Matthew today. If you remember, we left Matthew our last time we were there. Some women who were grieving the loss of Jesus, who had died brutally on a cross, came to the graveside and saw Roman soldiers laying everywhere because they were passed out like dead men. And the grave, the stone had been rolled away, the grave was empty, and they were just at a loss at what to do. And an angel told them that he is alive, that he is no longer here. Don't seek the living among the dead. He is alive. And we find out that Jesus says, tell my disciples, go and tell them to go to Galilee, and I will meet them there. We also found that there were some Pharisees, some scribes, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders at the time, who wanted to get the Roman soldiers to lie about what happened, so that they would not believe that Jesus Christ had indeed risen from the dead. This is where we left Matthew last. And today we're going to be in verse 16 of Matthew 28. And here's how the gospel ends. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me pray this morning over our passage. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our marching orders that you have given us here. God, while you commanded the disciples to a certain task, that has been transferred to us. And as we think about what does it mean for us, as we look down the barrel of another year, as we've turned the calendar from December and look at a brand new year facing us, God, help us to internalize this command and make it ours. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Well, this last June in 2023, a lady by the name of Jessica Vincent walked into a Richmond, Virginia Goodwill. She'd been going to this Goodwill. She said she goes two or three times a week to decompress. That's not the way I would decompress, but this is how she decompresses. She had learned this from her mom. They'd go to yard sales and estate sales places like Goodwill, and they would look for good deals. She was walking down an aisle, and she saw this vase that caught her eye. It had a red and green swirling pattern. She grabbed it and said, I think I'd like this. It looks like a nice piece. And she went and paid the $3.99 for this vase. She took it home. She thought, oh, maybe this is a nice piece. So she took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook into some collector groups out there on Facebook. And she started getting comments, oh, that's a nice piece. Some people started suggesting, oh, it was made by this sculptor or this sculptor, but they weren't sure. Finally, one person posted, that's a Carlo Scarpa. And they said, that's a very, very nice piece. Every collector's dream. And they said, here's an auction house. You should go and get this authenticated. She took this piece to the auction house. Long story short, she sold the $3.99 vase for $107,000. She said, I needed the money more than the vase. I'm like, yeah, I hear that. So she sold her vase. Listen, people had walked through that Goodwill, and they passed that vase and said, yeah, didn't see the value in it. But she walked by and thought maybe there might be something there and invested in it, and the payoff was far more than she could ever imagine. Well, this is our call. Now, our call isn't to find antiques. Our call is far more greater than that. It is far more important. We are seeking out things far more valuable than blown glass. Our call is to humanity, those who are made in the image of God. And God has called us to humanity and to those who might even be passed by the world who say, there's no value there. There's nothing there to see. And we are to walk by and see that and say, God sees a child of His, someone made in the image of God. And if we invest in that person and the Spirit of God working through us, the payoff could be far more than we could ever imagine. Because that person is being called by God to come home. And that is our call. That is what we're going to look at today. It's called The Great Commission. If you look in your Bible, it might even have that title there, The Great Commission, because the disciples were commissioned by God to a task here. And because he commissioned the disciples, and because we, those who have accepted Christ, are disciples of Christ, this is our commission. Now the question is, what's a commission, right? The commission in this sense is granting certain powers or authority to carry out a specific task. It is granting certain powers and authority to carry out a certain task. Jesus Christ has given us authority to carry out a specific task in our world. That is our commission. And we're going to look at that today. We are called to be fishers of men. Mark 1:17. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Humanity is our call. Not to better them, but to share the gospel with them so that Jesus Christ could transform them. That is our call. The Great Commission. And so as we look at the Great Commission, we're going to really look at verses 18 through 20, kind of make that our focus today. And what we see is the Great Commission begins and ends really with the basis of our commission. What is the foundation? What is the basis of this? It is the power and presence of Jesus Christ, the power and presence of God. Look in the first part of 18. The last part of verse, we'll just look at all 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And if we look at the last part of verse 20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our marching orders are enveloped in these two powerful statements of Jesus' power and Jesus' presence with us. This is the basis of why we do this. Look what he says. Look in verse 18 again. It says, some authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, right? Anyone? No. Most authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Is that what it says? No, what's the word? Say it with me. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. In heaven, all spiritual authority, and on earth, all physical authority. There is no authority, there is no power, there is nothing greater than Jesus Christ. In the spiritual world or in the physical world, all authority has been given to him. And that authority should compel us, it should impassion us, it should compel us to get out and make sure that our community knows about Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to him. And he's going to give us a commission. He's going to give us that authority to go into our world. Which means if we are not, then we are not submitting to his authority. Because he's had all authority on heaven and on earth. But if we are, then we are submitting to his authority. If we're making sure our community knows about Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. That means us attempting to tell our neighbors, our friends, our community about Jesus Christ. It's not a man-made program. It's not some sort of marketing scheme that some dude made up. It is the very call of Jesus Christ on each one of our lives. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, and it should compel us, it should bring us boldness, it should charge us up to say, he has authority not only in this building, but everywhere I go, physically and spiritually. And then, if that's not enough, when he finishes the command, he says, oh, and let me remind you, I'm going to be with you. Look what he says, and lo, I am with you sometimes, even to the end of the age. Is that what it says? I am with you most of the time. There's times that you're going to feel like I'm not with you, and I'm really not with you, but I'm with you and I'm not with you. Is that what it says? I am with you, what's the word? Always. Is there a time where Jesus Christ is not with you? So when you're out in the community sharing Jesus Christ with somebody, has Jesus abandoned you? No, he is there with you. And he's got all authority in that situation. So he's got all authority and he is with you. His power and his presence go with us when we are followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus promised them the presence. You know, it's one thing, if you're like in the military, it's one thing to go into enemy territory on the authority of the general. That's what you have to do. The general says, go, and you say, all right, I'm going to go. It's another thing to hear the general saying, I'm going into battle. I'm bringing all the forces with me, and I want you with me, right? There is far more power there. That's an overwhelming force. Guys, Jesus has called us to take enemy territory. He has. We are called to go into our community, find those who Satan has enslaved, who has captured them. And we are to set them free in Jesus' name. That is our call. And we are called on the authority of Jesus. And Jesus says, and by the way, I'm going with you. I'm going ahead of you. I'm already there working. Catch up, he says. I'm doing work in this person's life. And you don't know that I'm doing this work. Get there quicker so that they can come to know Christ. That is the idea here. We are to go, Jesus says. Jesus says this, go in my authority and in my power. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is the basis of the commission, the power and the presence of God. And then he goes on and he gives us the essence of the commission. What is the commission? And it is, guys, to make disciples. The call on our life, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to Christ, your call is to make disciples. Look what it says in verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Jesus really says, therefore. I mean, right? When there's a therefore in Scripture, you're supposed to look at it and see what it's there for, right? That helps us understand. We're to go back and look. What's the therefore about? He says, I have given you the authority and my presence, and because of that, you're to make disciples. See, make disciples in verse 19, that is the main verb of this verse. It is, everything else is connected to that verb, make disciples. That is the call of God. What is a disciple? A disciple is bringing somebody under or into a relationship with Jesus Christ under a student-master relationship. See, in biblical times, when Jesus said, make disciples, he was talking about a rabbi and a student, a master and a disciple. And when we bring somebody and help them find Jesus Christ, we are helping them come into a relationship, an authoritative relationship with a master, an authoritative teacher, and someone who says, I will submit and do what the teacher says because I believe what the teacher says, because the teacher is good and right and true. And that is what a disciple is. Someone who hears and they understand and they obey Jesus' teaching because they know Jesus is right and good and true. When someone's doing that, they are a disciple of Jesus. And that is our call. And he gave us his authority and his presence to do this job. He's not going to command us to do something we can't do. He's not going to say, I want you to make disciples, but by the way, no one will ever respond. Now, we're going to have difficult times. There's going to be people who don't respond. The response is on them, and between them and the Lord, our call is to do what he told us to do, make disciples. We are able to do that. Now, the main way we do that here at Rosemont is making disciples. We do that through small groups. You may not know that, but that is our discipleship plan. Our small groups, we have some on Sunday morning. We might call them Sunday school, but we have others that are not on Sunday morning, and they're kind of all grouped together in this idea of small group. And I'd like us to start thinking about them as life groups, because do we have that? So that's an acronym, because not all of them are on Sunday morning. Not all of them are necessarily schools. In fact, none of them are really schools, but they are life. They're doing life. That's an acronym for learning God's word together, inviting others to come to know Jesus, forming deeper relationships, and engaging in acts of service. See, your small group that you are together with learning together and growing together, you start begin doing life together. And that becomes discipleship. We're not asking people to do school together. We're asking people to do life together. And as we do life, we'll see people come to become disciples of Jesus. Listen, if someone's learning God's word, if they're inviting others to Jesus, if they're forming deeper relationships with other believers and they're engaging in acts of service, they are growing in their relationship with Christ. They are becoming more and more a disciple of Jesus. So Matthew tells us here, to make disciples, and he gives three actions in which this is accomplished. First, he says, we do this by going. We do this by going. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Now, that word go, the way it's constructed here, it has this idea of as you are going. As you are living your life, as you get in your car and you drive to the store or drive to your work, or as you get to work and you're living your life, or as you are hanging out with family and friends, as you are going, you are to be making disciples. And that begins with going. And the whole idea of going is going and making sure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to go out into our community. We are to go. And as we are going, share the gospel in the prayer and hope that they will come to Christ and become a disciple of Jesus. Now, as this is paired with this command to make disciples, the idea of going is also a command. Some people believe this is kind of a dual command, that we are to go and make disciples. And so there's two commands. But the way it's structured, it's really make disciples is the main command, and we do this by the command of going. Sitting back on the sidelines is not an option for a believer of Jesus Christ. How are you engaged in making a disciple? That is the question. He commands us to go. We go where people don't know Jesus. We're not going to other church folk, although that's good to have friends that are other people who are other Christians. But when we are making disciples, we go to people who don't know Jesus. They're not like us. They talk different than us. They look different than us. And we want them to know about Jesus Christ because they are made in the image of God and have inherent value. Jesus Christ brutally died on the cross for them as well. And we must go to them. We engage our community with the good news. That is the going. And then he says, we do this, we make disciples. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is part, and it's an important part, of being a disciple. Baptism is not an empty ritual that's just tacked on if you want to or not. He says here, it is a critical part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. To make a disciple, we go and share the good news. And there will be someone, when we share the good news, who will come to know Jesus Christ. And when they do, we are to bring them into a community of faith called a church. A church body, we're to bring them into that body, and they are to stand before the whole congregation and say, I stand with Jesus. And they do that through baptism. They say, Jesus Christ died and was buried again, and I've been buried with him in baptism and have been raised to walk in newness of life. It is not a secondary issue. It is part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it's part of our marching orders. Now listen, baptism is not salvation. I want to be very clear. If you have never trusted in Christ and you get baptized, you're just getting wet. Baptism is a symbol. It means something, but it is not our salvation. It is the first step of obedience of a disciple of Jesus Christ. It says, the first time I'm going to obey Jesus, I've come to know Christ, and the first thing I'm going to do is what Jesus did. I'm just going to follow in his footsteps. If Jesus was baptized, why in the world would I not want to do what he did? I'm going to do what he did. If Jesus did it, it was important for him. He didn't start his ministry until he was baptized. And Jesus didn't need sins washed away. Baptism doesn't wash away sin. It is a symbol and a statement. I stand with Christ, and I want this community of faith to know about it. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to commit to this body of Christ. That is the idea of baptizing. So we go, we share the gospel. Someone comes to know Christ. They're transformed by the gospel. We bring them in and they say, I am so excited. I'm a new person. I want the world to know I've come to know Christ. We have baptized them. But that's not the end. We don't leave them there. It says, teaching them to observe all that I command you. See, a disciple is attached, again, to a master teacher. Being a disciple is not about a decision that was made to follow the teacher. Being a disciple is the continual act of learning at the master's feet. That is a disciple. If you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ because I accepted Christ a long time ago and I've really not done any spiritual growth since then, here's news for you, you're not a disciple. Because a disciple is a continual learner at Jesus' feet. It is the continual act of becoming more and more like him because Jesus is transforming us. We're in his word. We're hearing a teacher. It means we're all teachable. Disciples are teachable. It means I can sit in a small group and have someone teach me that I've got something to learn from that. And we all should be teachable. One of the things I do is every other week for, I did this 6 months last year, I'm doing it 6 months this year, I meet once every other week with a seminary professor who's essentially my coach, who's challenging me to be a better pastor, a better teacher. He takes sermons and evaluates them. Talk about hurting, right? He says, you know what you do too much of? You know what you do too little of? And because I want to be a disciple. I want my relationship with Jesus Christ to grow. And so we need to be teachable, all of us. This is why life groups are going to be, and are, the main source of discipleship here. Because you learn in them. But being a disciple isn't just about a transfer of information. We're going to be teaching the teachers this next year so that the teachers are also learning. The idea here is this. The essence of our commission is to make disciples. We do this by going and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. We do this by baptizing them. When someone comes to know Christ, we help them make a statement that says, I stand with Jesus Christ and I want the world to know. And then we teach them and help them grow in their faith. And so with the basis of our commission and the essence of our commission here, I want us to think about, specifically, Rosemont. I want us to think about our strategy for 2024 with one word, the word invite. I want us to think about the word invite for 2024. Throughout the year, I want to challenge you to think about invite. Invitations are powerful tools. When you want someone to come to a party that you're going to have, and you want to make sure they're going to come, you send an invitation. When there is something really important, you go to somebody and say, I would like you to be there with me. Jesus used invitations. Look at this invitation in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's an invitation. If you are heavy and you are weary, you want rest, Jesus says, then I invite you to come to me. It's an invitation. Saul, who would later become Paul, was walking down the road to Damascus, and he powerfully encountered Jesus Christ. It blinded him. He heard a voice that said, why are you persecuting me? It transformed him. He had this powerful encounter with Jesus. And when he later tells about this transformation in his life, later in Acts 22, he tells this story about Ananias, who came into his life because God called him into his life to help him along, because there's no such thing as a lone Christian, not even for Paul. He had an Ananias who came and helped him know what it means to be a disciple. And Ananias says this to him in Acts 22:16. He says, now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Now I know it sounds like baptism and washing away your sins are connected here. He's simply saying, you've trusted in Christ, your sins are washed, make the world know it through baptism. That's kind of what he is saying here. But it's an invitation. He says, come on if you're coming. If you're going to do it, let's do it, Saul. And so he did. And he became Paul and transformed the church. Most of the New Testament, the number of books were written by him. Even at the end of all things, John has a vision of how things end, and he reads in Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. Come, he says over and over. Guys, that's an invitation. And let's engage in that. I want you to think about the word invite, and I want you to think of the word invite in three different ways. Invite people to church, invite people to Jesus, and invite people into your life. Invite people to church, invite people to Jesus, and invite people into your life. See, that's part of our strategy here at Rosemont. It is, you may not know it. In 2019, we had some key leaders in ministry positions here help us develop some key ministry identity marks. And one of those is our strategy to complete our mission. You might know our mission if you got your bulletin. It's right on the front. It's on everything that we try to do to keep it in front of people. We glorify God and make disciples. How? By passionately bringing people face to face with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. That's not some slick logo. That's saying this. We have to be passionate about people who don't know Jesus and bring them right up to the showing them what it means to be transformed by Jesus Christ, because nothing else can do it. And when they are transformed by Jesus Christ, we need to make them disciples. We passionately bring people face to face with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We do that with our strategy. And our strategy looks like this big heart. There should be a picture of it. If you got the notes, it's on the back of your notes. So this is meant not only to look like a heart, but it's supposed to look like those little bars on your cell phone, okay? And the more bars you have, the more strength of a signal you have, okay? And it starts at the bottom. It starts with the cross showing Jesus Christ. We've said this, all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is working, not only in your life, but he is working throughout this community. People are having struggles, and Jesus Christ is drawing them to himself. We don't know who they are, and when we bump into them, Jesus Christ is working in their life, he's working in our life, and when he brings us together, we engage them. That's that first bar. When we go, the idea of going out in our community, that is engaging our community. We want to go out and not simply live among people and never talk to them. We are to actively engage them. The person who's cursing and living like an unbeliever because they are an unbeliever, we're to engage them and say, there is a different way. And when we engage them, what we want is to see them grow in their relationship with Christ. And we do that through three doors. That's these three little words that they might be hard to see here and might be hard to write in your notes, but there's three conduits or three paths that provide growth. We say worship is a way. When people come to worship, we want our worship to be such that people will grow in their relationship with Christ. I pray that when you leave, you're built up in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're closer to Christ today than you were yesterday because you were here worshiping with other believers. That's the goal of worship. We also say connect. That's the small group portion, connecting with people, because when you're in a small group, you really connect with people. You get to know them. And that's when the church becomes family. And then there's service here, where if you serve with the church, you also begin to grow. Now we say, man, get someone through one of these doors. Invite them to church. Invite them to your small group. Invite them to do a service project with you. Hey, buddy, I'm going to go and take care of someone's swamp cooler. Come with me. I need some help today. Why are you doing this? Because this woman is a lovely lady at our church, and we're going to serve her and help her. I didn't know there's communities that do that. Let me help you. The idea is eventually someone going through all three of these conduits will grow. If you're worshiping, if you're connecting in a small group, you're serving the Lord, guess what? You're going to grow in your faith because you're going to be deep in the Word in your small group. You're going to be worshiping the Lord together. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit working through you to do the work. You're going to grow. And if we just don't want people to grow, we want to hit that max bar because you know it works best when you got those all four bars and we want them to thrive. Now, thrives is our measures, the things we look at and rejoice when we see in people's lives. They're out. You can see what this stands for out in the lobby, and that's a sermon for another day, but we want people to thrive spiritually. Now, I go through all of that, and I walk through to focus our thoughts on making disciples and the power of invitation, inviting to church, inviting to Jesus, inviting people into our lives. I'm saying this is what we've said is our plan, to engage people and invite them in. So I asked our mission team, let's think about invite to church. What does that look like? What does that mean? I asked our mission team to refocus their efforts this year. And so they said, we've done a lot of things in the past, and we've done the same things every year, and we've had some varying results. And we said, let's look at doing something different. Let's create events that make it easy to people to invite into the church or into their life. And so we're going to be working on doing that. It's going to be geared to different age groups. Some things are targeted to younger families. Some things are going to be targeted to older folks. And some are going to be all church things. So let me give you some examples of what they've said we're going to do. And I hope this excites you, because it's again, the idea of focusing on how can I find it easy to invite someone who is unchurched, who doesn't know the Lord, or is maybe a believer but hasn't really come into a body of believers. How can I invite them? And so the first thing, the weekend before Valentine's Day, we're going to have a parents' night out. This is going to be for our families in the church, and we're going to watch their kids and then ask these young couples to say, invite someone who is unchurched to also do that, to bring their kids, and we'll watch them, which means a couple things. One, we're going to need some older folks who don't have kids at home to watch the kids. Okay, so we're going to have a group here watching kids, which will be an adventure all on its own. But it will be awesome. And then we're doing that so the younger families can say, I'm free. Hey, this couple that we wanted to ask out who are not churched, let's go to dinner together. Or let's go to the bowling alley and throw axes together, or whatever it is that they want to do. And they get some time together, which is building up their relationship. And we're telling them, invite unchurched people. And they get to find out their church cares about them. In March, that's in February. In March, we're going to have a special Sunday in one of the Sunday mornings where we're going to have Christ in the Passover. The person's going to be here. They're going to show us how Jesus is pictured in the Passover. There's a lot of interest in Israel now. You may know a Jewish friend in town. You may know someone who's very interested in Israel but doesn't know what that's all about. And it might be very easy to say, our church is going to show you something very Hebrew but very Christian. Why don't you come, and then we'll talk about it later. That'll be something we do in March. In April, we're still kind of, there's details of this are fuzzy, but we're trying to think about like a back to church Sunday or a high attendance day, whatever we want to, we'll find something creative to call it. But there'll be a barbecue afterwards. So you say, hey, come to church with me, because I don't know, our small group's trying to get the biggest number, and if they do, we get this, I don't know. We invite them to church. Again, the details are fuzzy. But then afterwards, we'll have a barbecue where we, together with our new friends, have a nice time together in April. The whole point is that we're trying to make it easy for people to invite. In fact, the mission team said, they commissioned these cards that are called, they're just invited cards. It says, you are invited to Rosemont Baptist Church. It says Sundays at 10:45 is all it says on it. So on the back, you could say, oh, but come to my small group at 9:15, and here's my name and number. It's got a little map. It's got a QR code. If you don't know what a QR code is, you don't have to worry about it. If you do, you know what that's for. And so there's a QR code on it, and to get more information. And there's a stack of these out there. Take some. Take 20, 30, 40. We got plenty. Grab a stack of these, and as you're going around saying, there is something different about my church. I hope you think that. I hope you think your church is different than 10,000 other churches in the country. There's a reason you need to come here, not to just any church. I'm not saying there's churches that don't preach the gospel, but there's something special about us, right? We are unique. And so you say, I want you to come to my church, and I'll come pick you up, but here's a card. And so we wanted they're out there in the lobby, grab 20, 30, 40, whatever you need to do, and hand those out. We want to invite people to church. But inviting people to church is not evangelism. You get it, right? We want to invite people to Jesus. We want to invite people to Jesus. Now, it can be easy to invite them to church, then they hear about Jesus, and then when you're talking, you can talk to them about that, but you may have to talk to them about Jesus before. You might have to share the gospel before you invite them. And so we're going to provide some times this year to, our plan is to provide some evangelism training or invitation training, if that would make it easier to come to. People hear evangelism training and go, eek, I don't want to go. But we want to train you how to invite people to Jesus. The goal is to introduce them to Jesus Christ, not, it's only about the church in the sense that we teach and preach Jesus Christ, and we want them to hear about it. And the last thing is we want to help you invite people to your life. Listen, a disciple is made by spending time with somebody. Discipleship is not a six-week study where you cram information into a person's brain. Now, you may have to do a six-week study, or you may have to spend some time in the Word. That's important to do. But discipleship is the long slog of investing your life into someone else. That is discipleship. Jesus Christ walked this world for 3 years and invested in 12 guys, and one of them betrayed him. Okay? He spent time with these guys. That was discipleship. And so we need to find somebody who maybe doesn't have their life together because they're lost. And they're messy. And they don't think straight because Satan has darkened their minds. And we want to walk with them and show them what it means to have a life transformed for Christ. And then the light shines in, and it says, the God that says, let there be light, will shine the light of the gospel into the heart, and it will transform them. And they become a believer. And then you say, that's fantastic. Let me show you what it means to be a believer. And you show them the Word, and you show them what it means to pray, and you show what it means when things don't go your way, and how you handle it, and how you live life, how you handle money, how you handle your family, how you handle whatever it is. That is discipleship. So they learn. That's what the Scripture tells us. You read Timothy, you read Titus. It says the older people should be telling the younger people how to live for Christ because they're investing their life in them. That is discipleship. Jesus has said this, I promise my authority and my presence as you do it. As you make disciples, as you go and leave this place and go into enemy territory, I will be with you to the end of the age, and all authority has been given to me. So go and set free those who have been captured by the enemy. That's our commission. And I simply want to end by asking, will you commit to it in 2020? I'm going to have you bow your heads. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the promise of Jesus that says, I've commissioned you to make disciples. God, as we think about that here at Rosemont, and as we think about that individually, God, even now, place someone on our heart, even if it's just one person, who needs to hear the gospel, someone that only I know, no one else knows. My pastor doesn't know them. My Sunday school teacher doesn't know them. My deacon doesn't know them. The other elders don't know them. Someone in my life that only I know and only I could share the gospel with them. God, charge us up knowing that all your authority and all your power rests with us to do that job. God, give us the passion for those who don't know Jesus. Help us invite them to Jesus Christ. If the Son has set you free, you'll be free indeed. I give you life abundantly. And God, when we've done that, God, I pray that we would invite them into this body. I love this church. I love the people that make up Rosemont Baptist Church. And God, I want everybody in this town to know them, to feel the support and love that they give just unconditionally to anyone who walks in these doors. Help us invite people into this body. And God, help us invite people into our lives. Help us be vulnerable, courageous, bold enough to say, Walk with me. Walk with me in my life with Jesus Christ. God, whatever is going on in the person's life here today, I pray that you would have control. God, if there's someone who just simply says, I need to be a member of this church so I can serve at a higher level. God, if there's someone who needs to come to know Christ, they've never trusted in Christ. Not really. They've been trusting in their parents' or grandparents' faith, but they've never made a decision for you. I pray that they would do that today. Or God, if there's someone who has trusted in you, they've never followed through with baptism, I pray they would make that decision. God, if there's a believer who's been following after you but has not really committed to serve you in any capacity, God, I pray that you would lay it upon their heart to serve you. God, however you would call us, God, we want to be faithful. We want to glorify you. We want to make the name of Jesus famous. We want to fill heaven. Use us to do it, God, in 2024. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Staying Connected podcast, the preaching ministry of Pastor Roland Kennison from Rosemont Baptist Church in Montrose, Colorado. We pray the Lord will use this sermon to help you in your life and ministry. If you found this podcast helpful, would you consider contributing to our ministry? You can give online at www.rosemontbaptist.org/give. If you live in Western Colorado or you're visiting the area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. You can also watch our worship service live through our website at rosemontbaptist.org. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.